From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, the benchmark Korea Composite Stock Price Index surpasses the 9,000 mark for the first time. U.S. President Donald Trump signs an MOU with Iran that ends the war between the two sides, but it's unclear whether Tehran plans to charge service fees for ships transiting the Strait of Hormuz after the 60-day negotiation period ends. And a special investigative committee at the National Assembly holds its first meeting, kicking off a 45-day parliamentary probe into the Election Day ballot shortages. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Daniel Che. The benchmark Korea Composite Stock Price Index surged over 2% to cross the 9,000 milestone for the first time on Thursday. The index rose 199.6 points, or 2.25%, to close at a record high 9,063.84. The milestone came just 16 trading days after the index closed above the 8,000 level on May 26th. The KOSPI opened 20.68 points, or 0.23%, higher at 8,884.92 and moved in the lower 8,900 range before extending its gains in the afternoon and breaking through the 9,000 mark during intraday trading. Meanwhile, the tech-heavy KOSDAQ lost 31.03 points, or 3.01%, to close at 1,000.93. U.S. President Donald Trump has signed a memorandum of understanding with Iran that has ended the war between the two sides. Before the official signing ceremony, scheduled in Switzerland on Friday, the U.S. and Iran put the deal into effect and initiated a 60-day negotiation period toward a final agreement. But with the document limiting free passage through the Strait of Hormuz to 60 days, Tehran might eventually be allowed to charge service fees, a concern for South Korea, which relies heavily on Middle Eastern oil. Rosenbach has more.
This was not easy.
U.S. President Donald Trump signed a preliminary peace agreement with Iran at the Palace of Versailles on Wednesday, just ahead of a dinner hosted by French President Emmanuel Macron.
Bravo.
The scene was shared on social media by the White House Deputy Chief of Staff, showing Trump signing the Memorandum of Understanding with Macron applauding at his side.
Did you sign the MOU?
You signed it. Give me your side.
The Iranian Foreign Ministry also confirmed the development through the country's state media. The 14-point MOU released by the U.S. government includes an immediate end to the war, the full reopening of the Strait of Hormuz, and the lifting of a U.S. blockade of Iranian ports. Trump said earlier this week that the critical waterway will open toll-free, but Iran is indicating that after 60 days, it may charge service fees for ships passing through the strait. Iran's chief negotiator, Mohammad Bagher Ghalibaf, told Iranian media on Wednesday that the Strait of Hormuz will not return to pre-war conditions despite the peace deal. South Korea relies on the Middle East for over 70% of its crude oil imports, making the Strait of Hormuz a critical energy artery. Seoul's foreign ministry said earlier this week that freedom of safe passage through the strait must be fully guaranteed, reiterating the government's basic position that no transit fees or charges should be imposed. Rosine Park, KBS World Radio News.
President Lee Jae-myung and U.S. President Donald Trump discussed the situation in the Middle East, Korean Peninsula issues, and the South Korea-U.S. alliance during their talks at the G7 summit in Evian-le-Bain, France. According to a briefing by the Office of National Security on Thursday, the two leaders spoke at length at an official dinner at the summit on Tuesday, where Yi congratulated Trump on the end-of-war agreement reached with Iran. The presidents agreed on the importance of free and safe navigation in the Strait of Hormuz and concurred that the restoration of stability and peace in the Middle East can be expected to stabilize oil prices and the economy. Amid speculation that South Korea might participate in the creation of a reconstruction and development fund for Iran, a Cheongwade official said he expressed willingness to contribute to all international community efforts. He also conveyed his hope that Trump will play a role in finding a peaceful solution to the North Korea issue, just as he strived to resolve issues in the Middle East. He returned home on Thursday after wrapping up a 10-day tour that marked the start of a diplomatic push toward Europe. The National Assembly has taken the first step in a parliamentary probe into an unprecedented shortage of ballots reported during the recent local elections. A special investigative committee held its inaugural meeting on Thursday, kicking off a 45-day parliamentary probe on the ballot shortage incident reported at more than a dozen polling stations in Seoul during the June 3rd local elections. The parliamentary inquiry plan approved during the inaugural meeting was adopted at a plenary session of the National Assembly later in the day. The committee comprises 9 members from the ruling Democratic Party, 7 from the main opposition People Power Party, and 2 from non-negotiating parties. Representative Yoon Sang-hyun of the PPP has been appointed to chair the panel. The government has dismissed a news report suggesting that its upcoming defense white paper may abandon the long-held policy of designating North Korea as an enemy of the South. Colonel Lee Kyung-ho, a deputy spokesperson for the Defense Ministry, told reporters on Thursday that the ministry's stance remains unchanged, characterizing the Kim Jong-un regime and the North Korean military as the nation's enemy. The Joseon Ilbo newspaper published a report on Thursday expressing concern that the Defense Ministry is considering removing the term from its 2026 defense white paper, scheduled for release later this year. The speculation arises in light of the Lee Jae-myung administration's engagement policy toward Pyongyang. Colonel Lee said the ministry is currently working on a preliminary version of the biennial white paper and plans to publish the 2026 edition toward the end of the year. The South Korean government is reviewing measures to assist vulnerable borrowers and small to mid-sized importers in anticipation of a prolonged period of monetary policy tightening. Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Economy and Finance Gu Yun-chul chaired an expanded macroeconomic and financial meeting at the government complex in Seoul on Thursday to review preemptive measures to alleviate financial burdens and address currency volatility risks. Attendees of the meeting included Bank of Korea Governor Shin Yeon-sung, Financial Services Commission Chairman Lee Yeo-kwon, and Financial Supervisory Service Governor Lee Chan-jin, who emphasized the government's commitment to remaining vigilant amid ongoing internal and external risks, including expectations of interest rate hikes in major economies and uncertainty in the global artificial intelligence economy. He stated that the government will actively explore measures to reduce financial costs for vulnerable borrowers and small to mid-sized importers, aiming to mitigate the impact of high interest rates and a strong currency on people's livelihoods. Hong Myung-bo, head coach of South Korea's national football team, called a drone sighting over a training session ahead of a World Cup match with Mexico unfortunate. A drone was spotted flying above the team's training camp in Chivas Verde Valle in Zapopan, western Mexico on Tuesday as they were holding a close training session. A national team security official notified the Mexican military forces and they intercepted the drone and neutralized it. According to authorities, 2 men believed to be the operators collected the drone and fled. FIFA security personnel have asked local police to investigate the case as it remains unclear whether the drone was deployed by the media or for spying on the South Korean team. The first heatwave advisory of the year has been issued for Seoul and surrounding metropolitan areas, and it comes 11 days earlier than last year. The Korea Meteorological Administration issued the advisory for southeastern and southwestern Seoul, as well as for Incheon's Kangwha Island and Gyeonggi Province's Pochon and Goyang, effective as of 2 p.m. Thursday. Earlier, the agency had already issued its first advisory of the year on Wednesday for inland areas of North Gyeongsang Province. A heatwave advisory is issued when the highest perceived temperature is expected to reach 33 degrees Celsius or higher for 2 or more consecutive days. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. This has been Daniel Chang.